Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Welcome to the Bike Radar podcast, brought to you by the team behind BikeRadar.com, Cycling Plus, and MBUK magazines. If you enjoy this episode, please subscribe. And if you can do so, leave us a rating on your podcast provider of choice. It really helps us reach other cyclists like you.
We're talking all things gravel for our new seven-part podcast series here on Bike Radar, hosted by yours truly, Catherine Moore. From getting kitted out with the best gear for you to route planning, dipping your toes into gravel racing and simply why we love hitting the path less travelled, we've got a mega panel of special guests and in-house experts lined up for you. It's got to be the most commonly asked question since the dawn of gravel bikes as we now know them. Isn't gravel riding just mountain biking from the 90s? Well, maybe yes, but also maybe no. In order to tackle this ever-present question, I'm joined by two of our in-house experts who were shredding early mountain bikes in the 90s while I was busy graduating from stabilisers. Robin Weaver, our tech ed-in-chief, has been riding mountain bikes since year dot and started racing in 1993, but also isn't a stranger to drop bars, whether that's a road bike or more latterly gravel bikes. Meanwhile, Warren Rossiter, aka Woz, has an encyclopedic knowledge of modern gravel bikes, having tested nearly all of them, but rode and raced downhill bikes throughout the 90s. Welcome both.
Hi.
Hi.
So, why do you think that people keep coming back to this argument that gravel is just reinvented mountain biking from the 90s? What are the similarities?
Well, I'd say if you just leave aside things like racing for the time being and just talk about kind of what the pure essence of gravel bike riding for most people is, that it's just getting out and getting out in the wilds, and there's almost an element of exploration about it. And I'm pretty sure it's the same for Rob as well. You know, what kind of defined my kind of early mountain biking was like sort of long weekend adventures away with my mates, OS map shoved in your back pocket or in your bum bag. Which they've come back as well.
Oh yeah.
And literally, you know, going, you know, for me, being from the Midlands, it was heading to the Peak District or the Lake District most weekends throughout the summer, and just going and exploring and getting out in the wilds on a bike. And I think mountain biking has got so far away from that now, mainly because of the tech involved and the explosion of dedicated trail centres. So, you know, when we're sort of time poor, you're almost guaranteed good riding. When you go to those places where I think, you know, and gravel's occupied that space, because as we all know, you know, gravel rides can be anything from epic to also carrying your bike over fences for most of the day, or you know,
bog trotting,
hiking with your bike and that sort of thing. But I think, you know, there's definitely something a bit more pure about it, I think.
So for you, it's the essence of it rather than like the tech itself or purely the riding.
Yeah, I think it's all about that ride experience. It's all about getting out and exploring, and you know, and almost getting something that's so completely away from racing and competition. It's something else, you know. It's maybe as you referred to in the introduction, maybe it's our age.
Yeah. How about you, Robin? Would you tend to agree with that, or do you think it's a bit more nuanced?
I think, you know, I totally agree with what Woz said. I think that said, you know, there's so many parallels you can draw with the equipment. You know, when I started out, I started racing on a fully rigid mountain bike, which had, God, the tyres must have been, I think they were 1.95. Yeah, 1.95, whatever that is in millimetres. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head. But pretty skinny by, you know, modern mountain bike standards. And then I progressed to a suspension fork, which I think had, I want to say, maybe 60 mil of travel. Maybe not even that. And that's the bike I raced downhill on. You know, that was the bike I started out. When we started, you had one bike and, you know, you'd maybe take off your saddlebag, drop your saddle, and that was your downhill bike. You'd race cross country on the one day, or you could go race it on downhill. And as things started to specialize, we, you know, go all out and do things like, you know, put one single chainring on and a chain guide. But, you know, we didn't have clutch mechs and you know, luxuries like that back then that we even, you know, that we use on gravel bikes. So, yeah, you know, there's similarities in the sense that, you know, the bikes compared to modern mountain bikes are more basic in some ways. So less suspension or no suspension at all, skinnier tires. Arguably the bars were probably about the same width.
True.
But yeah, like you said in the intro, in fact, there's a lot of similarities, but they, you know, they differ at the same time.
Yeah, and there's with the evolution of sort of gravel as a category as well, we're now seeing lots more things like suspension that I know you've both been trying out, and
I mean, that's
almost blurring the lines even more, isn't it?
I mean, that's sort of case in point. I mean, you know, when I look at, you know, one of my gravel bikes, I've got a Cannondale Slate, and that's basically a 650B aluminium hardtail with a short travel suspension fork. And after I initially tested that before I ended up, you know, acquiring it, as it were, it just felt so familiar. I was riding it and going, I don't know why this bike feels so familiar. And it was only when I sort of had a look at the geometry, and aside from the difference in wheel size, 650B as opposed to 26, the geometry was so close to like my 1992 GT Zaskar, which I ended up running a RockShox Mag 30 fork on it, which was a 32 millimeter travel fork.
Wow.
I spent a whole term's grant buying that fork. That's when you used to get grants. You know, and then lived on Aldi pasta for about 3 months.
Was it worth it though?
No, I hated it. Did like two races on it and I took it off and sold it at a massive loss. Went back to fully rigid. But as I say, the Slate just felt so similar, and it kind of reminds you, I think there's something, I wouldn't say it's not masochistic, but there's definitely something in riding a bike that's way beyond its comfort zone. Mm. You know, there's lots of trails and old race courses in my sort of local area that I did race on way back. And now on I haven't ridden a huge amount of modern mountain bikes because I'm not really involved in that anymore. And I'd love to get one, but I don't know what to buy. There's too much choice. But every time I've ridden one on those old courses, I've just been amazed at how easy it felt because the bikes are so technically capable. Mm. And you don't get that sort of, you know, heart in your mouth, you know, panic stations kind of thing. But when I ride those old, and some of these are like old, you know, long defunct kind of National Point Series downhill courses that are just, you know, long forgotten. And I'm riding those on gravel bikes now, yeah, and loving it because you're getting that that same sense of terror that you used to have back, you know, back when you were. So I think there's definitely something in that. I think the technical advancements in mountain biking are out of this world, you know, and I think, I don't know what the factors are for that. And also the quality of riding has gone through the roof. Because I think, you know, as Rob will know, when we were looking at those sort of heroic riders back in the 90s, you know, you're talking like your Tomax and et cetera, you didn't know how they rode. You saw still photographs of them. And they looked fast and they looked like they were going well. So you just didn't know, you know, you couldn't ape them. You couldn't copy them unless you actually got to see them in the flesh, which is very, very rare. Or you got a, you know, fifth generation VHS copy of Mammoth Mountain or something. And but with the advent of, you know, stuff like YouTube and edits and that sort of stuff, the progression and how much better riders are today than they were then, because they're seeing it and they can, you know, they can see how people are riding across, how they're attacking things. It's just, it's elevated. It's so far beyond and the, you know, the trail centers are keeping up with that rapid advancement in rider skill sets. So, you know, leaving people like me way, way behind.
It's fascinating. I had a first-hand experience of something like that last summer when we went up to Macunclith, if I've said that right, in North Wales or mid-North Wales. And we were up there for Grinduro Wales. And Grinduro, which is a enduro gravel event, and it's quite well known for being quite spicy. They put in some rather technical sections. But for the hangover ride the next day, I was looking at route options that we could sort of do a more social, chilled ride on. And I noticed that there's all these loops out of the town, Mach 1, Mach 2, Mach 3, Mach 4. And they were mountain biking loops that were created, don't quote me on this, I can't remember if it was the 90s or maybe even before in the 80s, as sort of general mountain biking. It wasn't categorized as such back then. I guess now you'd probably call it an XC loop. But on gravel bikes, it was brilliant. It was literally the perfect terrain, gorgeous sort of like bridle ways, stony wide tracks, the most amazing balcony road, dropping back down into town. I thought, okay, so maybe our perception of what is mountain biking has completely shifted from what it used to be.
And the bikes were so bad. Everyone seems to sort of look back with rose-tinted glasses, I think. Where, you know, I touched on it earlier, but I remember constantly having to put my chain back on. Always. I used to have to put my bike, to persuade my mum to let me keep my bike in the kitchen in the winter to let the elastomers soften up in the forks so that my forks would actually move. Whereas you think about, you know, if you do run a fork now on a gravel bike, that isn't a consideration. You know, you've got to be pretty sensitive when it comes to how the temperature might change, you know, what your fork's doing or your tire pressures or something like that. But I mean, those bikes were, yeah, we learned a lot. I think the engineers learned a hell of a lot from those bikes and have made gravel bikes 10 times better. So yeah, there's definitely similarities, but equally now, I think anything we do on a gravel bike, arguably, yeah, like Walt said, it's still terrifying in certain situations, but it's terrifying knowing that your chain's probably going to stay on and your suspension fork, if you have one, will probably work. And we also have working disc brakes, which was a rarity back then, you know.
Yeah.
The amount of times...
I think that's a big one, isn't it?
Oh, do you know, I'm pretty sure there was one cross-country race when I was a kid. You know, you always want to please your parents and never give up and all that. I'm pretty sure I dragged around my old rigid bike where the tires had completely, you know, everything was totally jammed up with cut grass and we were doing laps of like a farmer's field or something. It was clay wedged in between the old cantilever brakes and the wheels wouldn't turn around and my drivetrain was completely screwed. And I pretty much just dragged my bike around for about 2 hours. So I guess there's similarities in some gravel rides if they go wrong.
Yeah.
But that
sounds a bit like a very long cyclocross race.
Well, the thing is, I guess it was like that would happen probably more frequently than it would now. And I think I've blocked a lot of that out of my head. And by happy coincidence, I met up with a really good friend of mine on Saturday, just gone. And him and I grew up together. We started racing together. On mountain bikes. He then went across, he lives in London. He sort of moved over and for convenience sake rides road and then got into gravel. And he was back visiting his parents at the weekend. So I went up and met him and we rode pretty much some of the old trails that, you know, that's what we did every weekend, rain or shine. We did it on gravel bikes, and I would say we probably had an easier time. Not necessarily better time, but we had, you know, because it was ace back then. It was such an adventure because our parents were like, well, you know, you know what you're doing. You're in a group. You're going to be fine. We used to just disappear off for, you know, an entire day out into the, not really the wilderness, but, you know, as wild as Gloucestershire gets. Yeah, exactly. And, we probably did it 10 times faster at the weekend, probably not any fitter. And everything you're riding, you're like, yeah, it is bumpy. It probably was bumpy back then as well, but I can stop. That's a pretty big advantage, I would say. Not just careering off as soon as, you know, when you can't quite see what's up around the next corner or how tight it maybe gets and miss the rut. Oh yeah, I can't actually slow down anyway. And you know, you've got even back then, the bike I would have ridden on cross country must have weighed like 30 pounds compared to the gravel bike, which, yeah, is probably like, I don't know, maybe 20 pounds. So it's still significantly lighter. I had a great time. Still out of control in places, but I had a great time.
It's got to be a little bit sketchy to be fun, isn't it?
Totally. And you carry so much more speed. You got, you know, bigger wheels. Everything was on, you know, 26 back then. We're on 700s now with these, or you know, if you ride an XC bike, an XC mountain bike, you're on a 29er. So you just carry that bit more speed, that bit more rollovers, a bit easier. So there's definitely similarities, but I reckon we've got it a lot better now.
Yeah. From what you've both said, it feels like the sort of essence of it, the ethos, hasn't really changed. While mountain biking has sort of diverged off into this more technical sphere and, you know, the riding has progressed massively, the racing element has, gravel has sort of just backfilled what was left.
Yeah. And I think there are probably, you know, I think because we're so involved in our kind of respective cycling genres, you can sometimes forget that for most people, mountain biking probably hasn't changed from then. It's still about getting out and seeing a bit of the countryside and all that sort of stuff. And actually, I think now the gravel bike is the better option. It's lighter, you know, it's better on the road sections between. I think the mountain bike has become such a specialist tool, and all the better for it, that it's so highly focused. And I think that, yeah, I think there is an element where the whole kind of gravel thing has backfilled that sort of area, but it's also generated bikes that are just as practical as bad as some of those early mountain bikes were. They were still, a lot of them were still, you know, pretty practical. You know, if you look back at some of those like early, you know, like serious race bikes, you're thinking like early stump jumpers that, you know, legends like Ned Everett were riding. If you look at those bikes, they still had rack mounts.
Brilliant.
And, you know, they were still, you know, they were practical bikes as well as being, you know. And so I think there's, you know, I think gravel is occupying that space, but gravel is diverging now. And, you know, now that the racing's become such a big element and the bikes are changing to represent that, I just hope that it can maintain that, just getting outdoors and enjoying yourself rather than becoming too focused on competition, because I think that can be as detrimental as it can be a driver for tech, as it were.
What about your thoughts on, there's like sort of a new wave of gravel bikes with flat bars. Is that sort of blurring the lines a little bit? Do you see there being a great advantage there?
I don't know, to be honest. I mean, I've ridden a couple, and you do kind of think, oh, it's, you know, it's a bit like a mountain bike, but lighter. So I you know, I think it basically just comes down to personal choice, really. You know, I mean, I can remember, you know, back in my early days on CP, going to lots of the old school cross races then, and half the field were on cross bikes with flat bars. You know, and this is when flat bars were like cut down to like 17 inches wide, you know, ridiculously narrow. but there were, you know, a big portion of the field would be, you know, obviously these weren't, you know, league standard races. They were more just local events. But you did see a lot. And I think, you know, I think we can all be a bit too tribal. Yeah. And I think it's just like, if you want to ride a gravel bike with flat bars, go for it. You know. I quite like to see people just sort of doing their own thing, having, you know, whatever they want. I mean, I think if I was going to have a gravel bike with flat bars, I'd probably try and source some bar ends.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, a few more hand positions, yeah. A bit more comfy.
Very old school.
Yeah, I've definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's great that, you know, people have the choice, because I think a lot of people are coming into gravel as their sort of first entry into cycling, because it's a sort of new discipline that's actually seemed to be quite sexy at the moment and has a lot of appeal for people. And, you know, not everybody is confident or even wants to ride drop bars. So it can be really good from that sense. And I know a lot of people like Ribble offer some of their gravel bikes in like both drop bar or straight bar configuration. I had the joy of riding the Marin DSX, which is their little sort of aluminium flat bar gravel bike, and it was loads of fun. Not really the bike for me, I guess. It was almost a bit too in between what I'd do with the mountain bike and the gravel bike, but I could certainly see the space for it. So yeah, I just thought that was quite an interesting one, because like whenever you post a picture of a flat bar gravel bike, it's like all the comments just like, it's just a mountain bike. But yeah, I think we've concluded today that, like, although mountain bikes and gravel bikes in the modern era are completely different, there's more than space for both. And as you say, it all just comes down to the love of getting outside and exploring, seeing the greenery in the countryside.
Yeah. It's literally just, you know, making sure you buy the right tool for the job. It's that simple. You know, if you're going to, you know, if you're riding is going sort of getting out in the great outdoors, but you're doing plenty of time back in between, gravel bike. But, you know, if you're predominantly going to be just riding off road, you know, maybe a lightweight hardtail might be the better way to go. You know, it's like, I think it's just, end of the day, we're just all riding bikes and getting outside. And that's the crux of it.
Yeah, great. Wicked. Well, thank you both very much for taking your time out and having a little nostalgia trip down memory lane there. Do remember to subscribe to the Bike Radar podcast if you haven't already, and leave us a review if you can. It really does help us out. Join us next time when we'll be chatting all things gravel racing, and see you then.
Thanks for listening to the Bike Radar podcast. If you've not done so already, please subscribe and share with your friends, or leave us a rating if you've enjoyed this episode.